Well, greetings, everyone. I'm back with another big PowerPoint display, I guess, huh? Anyways, I want to thank Mr. Boynton for his message. That was very good, and I want to thank you for giving up your spot today. I am so honored to speak here, so thank you, Mr. James. Suzette and I are doing fine. Wisconsin, of course, is colder. California is much warmer, but we're doing fine. We're out here because her company has a little work for her to do this week, and actually it was passed this week and next week. So she's there for that's why we're here. We're staying over the time. Back in September time frame, I was asked to go to Africa. And there was an Africa conference. The United Church of God had an Africa conference, and I went there with Africa. And I was asked to give a message on the 10 toes of the image in Nebuchadnezzar. And in that process of doing that, apparently there was some confusion. And it's not just in Africa, there's other places too. There's some different ideas on what those 10 toes represent in the image, which led to me doing a lot of research on what it is, and then I came up with a chart you see there, which I'll talk about, and I came up with this message. This is not the exact message I gave in Africa. That message lasted about 2 hours. I don't think you want me to go that long. I think you want me to keep it kind of short here. But we're going to talk about what is called prophecy dead reckoning, as you see on the screen there. Prophecy in the Bible is about roughly 25% of the Bible is prophecy, and it's predictive or past and future. And as we always say, jokingly, the only way to 100% predict prophecy correctly is the prophecy of the past, right? Correct? That's the only way we can predict 100%. So church leaders can calculate the current and future prophecy by using what was previously determined. And that's basically what dead reckoning is, if you know the terminology. It's the ability to calculate a current or future position by determining what happened in the past. And that's one of the reasons we're able to prove the 10 toes of King Nebuchadnezzar. But before I go there, I want to go to another place. And that is an old book called The Mystery of the Ages. And that's pages 270-271. This is written by one of our former leaders, actually our main former leader was Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong, and I just wanted to point out a section there, and it says, the person who says, he's using the term salvation, outside of the church is totally deceived. This is not the time when salvation is open to everyone. It's in Satan's world. Those called now, that would be us in this room and more, I repeat emphatically, this is a quote from him, are not called just for salvation. And I want to focus on that term for a moment, just for salvation. They are called for a special training provided only by God's church or the ecclesia. And that's found in the mystery of ages. Turn over to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, we have another verse. This is in the Olivet Prophecy, as it's called. And in Matthew 24, and we're going to only read verses 42 through 47, it says, watch therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Verse 45, who then is faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his house to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. So we have this scripture here about the future, about us, what we need to watch, we need to prepare. And we need to give what we call meat or food in due season. But then that leads us to a question we may want to ponder. If I am spiritually ready or spiritually prepared to be in the bride of Christ, do I need to watch and do I need to give this food or meat in due season? This is just an interesting question to ponder. I believe that answer is actually yes. We still do. So we are called for more than just everlasting life. We are called to actually go above and beyond that, to become teachers and preachers. We're also going to become something called the first fruits. But we do have a very comforting scripture when it comes to prophecy. That prophecy is only revealed from God. You can turn over to Daniel 2. We'll be spending most of our time here in Daniel 2. But in that scripture, it talks about these revealings to the church leadership come from God. And in Daniel 2 and verse 20 through 22, it said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and he raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge and to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things." So these things come from God. So then prophecy dead reckoning, we're going to look at one example of this, a future prophecy that has been partially revealed through the fulfillment of historical prophecy, and that is the 10 toes of iron and clay. And I'm going to read that in Daniel 2, again, verses 32 through 35. Let's read what it says. It says, this image, this is the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. If those of you who need to study it, we're going to study that and look at that later. We're not going to go into that, but it's a dream he had, and it was interpreted through God, by God through the prophet Daniel. And then verse 32, it says, "The image head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, feet of partly iron and partly clay. You watch while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image of its feet of iron and clay and broke them into pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." One moment. Mr. Cruz, I need one of those handouts at some point. Thank you. So we have this prophecy in here. Thank you. We have this prophecy here of the 10 toes, what they are. So I started to do the research on this. Now, in our former Worldwide Church of God, it took them about 30 years, and this is approximately 100 years ago that they began this process. They created something that's called the chart showing prophecy of reign of Gentile kings. You have an updated copy in front of you, and I'll talk about that in a minute. Also known as the beast chart. So from here on out, when you think of the beast, you can actually think of me. No, I'm just teasing. Anyway, so again, it was revealed began about 100 years ago in 19, actually when I did the research, it goes back to an article in something called the Bible Advocate in 1928. Now, it was also revealed not to Mr. Armstrong alone, but I want to point this out, it was revealed to Mr. and Mrs. Armstrong together. And I want to read to you what Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong said about that. "From the time of my conversion, Mrs. Armstrong has always studied with me. We didn't realize it then, but God was calling us together. We were always a team working together in unity." So this was revealed to two individuals together. And again, it starts with the Bible Advocate, which is actually part of the Seventh-day Church of God. And it was around 1928 that it began. The next significant event in this process, I can go through all the iterations, which is a lot of iterations. I actually did that for Mr. Pedworth. I showed him all the research work. He was very kind. He said, "But we don't need to cover all that in Africa," which is true. But anyway, we covered it. So, but the next significant event happens, in something called the papal state, which is getting us to the future. Again, historical event that's going to point us to the future. And that was in 1929. That's where things began. Of course, 1929 was an epic event in history, the stock market crash and a few other things. But this papal state was, for a heck of a term, revived or resurrected. It had not been around since 1870. And you'll find out later that this is where we believe the false prophet is going to come from. So the next significant event I'm just going to cover that. You can go into detail about that later yourselves in your own study. So the next significant event we jump to is 1934. In 1934, we get the first iteration or the first version of what we call the Beast Chart. It's not the Beast Chart we have today. It was incomplete and there were some flaws. We haven't gotten everything right. And then they went through iterations. So they went through many, many different iterations. I think it was about 10 over the years. The next significant event happened in 1957. In 1957, some things were revealed. It's called the Treaty of Rome. I don't know how many of you were alive in 1957, but it was a significant event. It was signed on the 25th of March, 1951. It began to open up people's... God was revealing to our leadership that this revision of the Rome would be this mix. And there was a famous quote from a German delegate. We couldn't find who it was, but it was in several of our... Good news and plain truth. Once they signed that document on the 25th of March, 1957, they actually said, "Today we are all Romans," and that will become significant later in the message. Then we jump to 1959. In 1959, we finally have all the pieces put together. Like I said, it started in 1928, and in 1959. There was no chart, but in the 1959 Plain Truth magazine, it specifically identifies who the 10 toes are, and it definitely identifies them correctly. There are 10 toes on 2 feet, pictured as being a mixture of iron and miry clay, and as I read to you before, and whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with a seed of men. And that's a union of men or nations. And this is where it came about. And then a little bit after that, around 1960, we have the final version of the Beast Chart from the Worldwide Church of God, or a former era. And it's found in a book called Who or What is the Prophetic Beast? You can look it up for yourself. This is the final version. We're not going to read that version, by the way, but that's what I started with. So I took that as part of my Africa assignment. I took the Beast Chart from the 1980s, because that was the last printing of that book. Who or What is the Prophetic Beast? Printed in 1985. We have a booklet called The Final Superpower, 2013, United Church of God. We also have a book called Revelation Unveiled, that's 2005. And Who is the Beast? Again, 1960s, I grabbed a little bit out of there, and my own research. And I put this together. I did the work to put this together. So this would, I would call an updated. Now, this has been seen by several elders, and it seems to be okay. It's not an official UCG document. It's what I put together for you. But I'm handing it out and everything. So now we're going to talk about the chart a little bit. We're going to cover the chart, and we're going to understand the chart high level. I can't go into the whole chart in detail. We would, like I said, we'd be here for hours. But the chart actually brings 5 different scriptures together. That's Daniel 2, Daniel 7, Daniel 8, Revelation 13, and Revelation 17. That's across the chart. So when you look on the Beast Chart, across the top of the Beast Chart, that's what you see. You see the different categories of the scriptures. And then on the explanation of symbols, this would be the what we call the prophetic meaning that was revealed to different people of what these symbols mean. So that's the explanation of symbols. That would be the prophetic meaning. And then on the very, very right side of the chart, those of you who have the chart, Then you have the historical events that fulfilled that prophetic event. So you have the scriptures, and you have the explanation of the symbols, prophetic events, and then on the very, very right, you have the explanation of the events on the top here, and it's going across. So now let's run through these. We'll see. Hopefully, it won't take us too long. But so the first one mentioned here, the head should be that the head, which is just underneath the top there. I got a little ahead of myself there. Let's back it up a little bit. So the head, of course, was King Nebuchadnezzar. It was the Babylonian Empire. And that goes all the way across. There's a little map there showing you how large the Babylonian Empire was. It's the Babylonian and also called the Chaldean Empire. And it gives you the dates and everything else. And that's pretty much agreed to by all scholars. The next one is the Medes and the Persians. Again, the Persians are the big one, all these different scriptures and the different pictures and what the ribs mean. The ribs are listed here, the different conquering of the ribs for the Medes and the Persians. And you can see that across on the next one. The next one, of course, is the belly of the thighs here, and that is the Greek or the Hellenist Empire. It began in 33 BC, the Greek Empire, or Alexander the Great. And it gives you the different, the leopard with the four heads, and you can see that in the chart and get that all through the chart there. And again, this is a study aid. This will help you to study. The next one here is then we begin what we call the Roman Empire. And this is the beast that's dreadful and terrible. And the reason it's dreadful and terrible is because it just doesn't die. It keeps resurrecting. It keeps coming alive. And you can see that here in these different pieces, the seventh head of the prophetic beast. And again, this is for you to study. This is a chart for you to look at and for you to take and do your own study when you have the time. And it's talked about the Roman, and it starts with Caesar. We have another revision of the first revision of the empire, and we have the first horn, the second horn, and the third horn, which were not considered the Holy Roman Empire. It's just the Roman Empire, and you can we'll study that in a minute here, and it talks about, and you can see on the right there which they are, what they are, and they're different ones. And again, I can't go into a lot of detail here. You can reread the chart for yourself. But it gives you all the historical account and the events that occurred. Side two, okay? So it has two sides, all right? So the first side is history. Second side is a lot of history, too. Again, the top piece would be the headings. Again, the very, very top row is the headings, explaining the symbols. And then we get into more of these revisions of the Holy Roman Empire. And you can read some of these accounts, again, to study for yourself. But we have the, in Revelation 13, if you look at the middle there, the beast number is 666. In that column on the right side, we begin to see the revisions of what we call the false prophet or the Holy Roman Empire, the holy part. It's not really holy. It's all run by Satan, the devil, of course. But what we call that, and that's where it begins. And that is the what we call the second beast or the two-horned beast when you do your study. And you'll see that. And then you begin to see these revisions of the Roman Empire. And the first one was under Justinian. And again, we have each of the different revisions. We have Justinian, we have the Frankish one, we have the German kingdom, and we have the Austrian kingdom, and we have the what we call the French kingdom. Now, I want to tell you a little funny story. When I actually did one of these in French for the trip to Africa, and I had to change the Napoleon from French. Because Napoleon was technically born in Italy, I wasn't aware of that. The French consider him an Italian. They consider him Roman, not French. I just thought that was very interesting. So they call him an Italian. So the French do not consider him to be Italian, even though we consider him to be Italian. But again, he is another revision of this Holy Roman Empire. Then in the middle here on this side, you have the definition of 666, which is the Latin man. You can see here, and that's why another reason 666 works for the Latin man, or pointing to Rome again, to Rome. Then and then we have here this revision just before that actually included Hitler, but it was actually Mussolini who was the emperor at that time. He was the emperor, and he took on that role himself. And this is what this revision of the Holy Roman Empire during our former leader's time. And then we have that great scripture. If you want to turn to Revelation 17, I know I said you want to maybe keep your hand in Deuteronomy 2, but let's turn over to Revelation 17, because we have a very interesting fulfillment. And again, this is why we can look at the history that has happened, even the history of time, and we can understand the future or the current. In Revelation 17:10, it says, "And there are seven kings, seven revisions of the Roman or the Holy Roman Empire. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet to come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space." So the one is, again, this is 1939, was in the present time for Mr. Armstrong and former leadership, and that one is would have been Mussolini at that time. And that would happen in 1939. So when Mr. Armstrong understood this, it was 1939, and the other kings that had fallen, we have them listed here, that would have been Justinian and the Frankish king and the German and the Austrian and the French, or what we call the Italian. And then you had Mussolini was alive when this was revealed. So that would be five are fallen, one is. And then we have this one is to come. And that's this future event we talk about with the ten toes. So that's very interesting how that was revealed, and that's in the chart as well. And you can go through it and study it at your own time. So last we have we have Mussolini from here that we just talked about. And then we have the ten toes, which is the very last one. This is a future event. Now, so one of the reasons, the main reasons why we believe it will come from Europe, this will come from Europe, this will be another revision of the Holy Roman Empire, is frankly because of the history of the dead reckoning, as you can see from the chart. That it all happened before. Remember, it's the same two beasts. It's the same beast that is the state or the government or the nation of Rome, and it's the same false prophet or beast that has been there all along. So why would it change? Why would it change? There's different ideas. It's the United Nations, or the Ten Toes, or something to do with the Muslim Empire, or something like that. But again, because of history, because of prophecy that we know has been fulfilled and why it's been fulfilled, we can state where things are going to be fulfilled. We know where. Now, again, we don't know specifics. I mean, I would love to know the date. Wouldn't you guys love to know the date? Yeah, we would love to know the date, right? But we don't know the date, right? But we know, again, we don't know the specific details. And that's what we're talking about with this chart. But we know in general where it's going to come from. It's going to come from Europe. It's going to come from Rome. It's going to be another revision of this beast. It's going to be the false prophet, another revision of that church. We know that from the history of the prophecies already fulfilled. And when you do your study, this will be revealed. This will come to you more when you do your study. Now, again, the feet and the ten toes represent Europe. And these are the two flags of Europe. One of them is the United, what we consider the economic flag, and one of them is the European Union. So again, when will the beast and the religious power of the false prophet revive for the last time? Again, the big question, right? Well, again, to state it again, it has not been revealed. We just don't know. I mean, we see a lot of things happening in the world today that could catalyst that. I mean, the Israel war right now is, and the trouble in the Middle East. Could that be a catalyst to bring this on? It's possible. We cannot say definitively. We have other people in the body of Jesus, the body of the church is not an organization that want to put dates and want to talk about specifics and want to do about that. And again, that's very dangerous ground. There's one gentleman that's predicted, I think, five times that he thinks an exact date of when Christ is going to return. And guess what? It didn't happen. So you got to be careful. Again, historical prophecy helps us understand future prophecy, but only necessarily at a high level. It helps us in that particular case. So prophecy dead reckoning can, and I just use the word can, it can help you know where to watch. Okay, so we know to watch Europe. We know to watch Rome. We know to watch the church over there for that religion. We understand where to watch. So it helps us in that case. It assists your understanding so you can prepare. It helps us to prepare, because if we have a general idea, then we're not going to go off and look at something that we shouldn't be looking at. We understand where that's coming from. And it helps us to prepare, for as it says in Matthew 4. Now, it's not the only thing. There are many other things to help us prepare, but it's just one aspect of that. And lastly, it allows you to give, and we're going to change the word food to meat. Gives you meat in due season. You know, as it was stated in the Mystery of the Ages and several places, you are called to be preachers and teachers. So will there be a time in the future where you will have to explain, I know it's Rome and I know why it's Rome, and I don't know that. But this information is good for you to know so that you can actually be prepared to give that meat if somebody needs to give that meat. And that's what's good about what I'm calling, now I called it prophecy dead reckoning because it was a new word, it's a buzzword today. It just means we're learning from the history to predict the future, right? Or to have confidence that what our leadership has said the future is what it is, right? So now in conclusion, I don't want to leave you with all this terrible news about this beast and all the revisions of the beast and everything else. There is really good news at the end. And I'm hoping, go back to Daniel 2. We'll finish up in Daniel 2 here. And we'll talk about that. So in Daniel 2, we're going to go into verse 34 again. We actually read this, but let's read it again. So Daniel 2, starting in verse 34. And it says, "You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet." Okay, so this last revision will go to battle with Jesus Christ and will lose. And it says here, "on its feet of iron and clay, and broke them into pieces." Verse 35. "Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. And in the days of these kings," verse 44, "in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break into pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and the interpretation is for sure." So take the chart, study it, have fun with it. It's just something for you to study, and have a very profitable Sabbath.